In 2000-2001, I was given a chance to help push the agenda forward as chair of the Commission on Macroeconomics and Health of the World Health Organization, where my colleagues and I spelled out the links of finance, technology, and disease control. It became dramatically clear that the package of goals, technology, implementation, and finance could indeed be harnessed. In a July 2000 speech at the World AIDS Conference in Durban, South Africa, I called for the establishment of a global fund to fight AIDS. In the fall of 2000 and early 2001, a faculty group at Harvard documented how AIDS treatment could be expanded to the poorest of the poor, drawing inspiration and insight from the path-breaking work of Dr. Paul Farmer and Dr. Jim Kim in Haiti, where they were successfully treating impoverished AIDS patients using antiretroviral therapy. The Harvard group demonstrated how AIDS treatment could be expanded on a large scale to the poor. Most important, Secretary General Kofi Annan led the worldwide effort for action, first by leading the adoption of the MDGs in September 2000, and then by launching the proposal for a global fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria in the spring of 2001. The subsequent success of the Global Fund is especially notable because it has come in the aftermath of much backbiting, skepticism, and outright opposition over the years. Many people claimed that it would be impossible to treat AIDS in Africa because Africans would not adhere to drug regimens. The incoming USAID administrator at the time, Andrew Natsios, said that Africans could not tell Western time and would therefore not know when to take their medicines, and because drug resistance would soar. Similarly, there was widespread belief that it would be impossible to achieve large-scale malaria control because there would be no way to get the vital technologies, insecticide-treated bed nets and anti-malarial medicines, into African villages because the nets would be diverted by corrupt officials or left unused by the households. And then once in the villages, the nets would be misused as wedding veils. There were similar excuses for inaction against TB control, which requires many months of directly observed therapy to cure the disease. This, too, was regarded as impossible to achieve in the impoverished and corrupt African context. 6 years later, all of these doubts and worries have proven to be vacuous. Africans did adhere to regimens. Drug resistance did not grow. Bed nets were used, and few were stolen or mislaid. The accomplishments of the Global Fund as of mid-2007 are remarkable and include program funding for 132 countries, more than 30 million bed nets distributed, more than 1 million people put on antiretroviral treatment, 2.8 million people treated for TB. There have been serious glitches, to be sure. The United States opposed a strong link between the Global Fund and the World Health Organization out of a general antipathy to the United Nations, and this has weakened both organizations in recent years. The Global Fund would have helped to make the WHO more operational, and the WHO staff in the field could have done much more to support the Global Fund programming. The United States also went off on its own in disease control efforts to control AIDS and malaria, unnecessarily complicating and sometimes politicizing the global support. This was another symptom of the Bush administration's unilateralism. On a technical level, there can be many improvements in the interface of the Global Fund with national programs, in clarity of funding, in design of projects, and in procurement of commodities. Yet the practical results of the Global Fund far outweigh all of these limitations. The Global Fund also demonstrated a core lesson in political economy. Before 2001, poor countries were unable to access funding to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria. International donor agencies, such as the World Bank, engaged in lots of rhetoric but little action. Yet the lack of action was not easily discernible from the outside. It appeared, because of all the hand-wringing, meetings, and speeches, that vastly more was being done than actually was. Moreover, if governments appealed for support, they could be brushed aside without any public awareness. The aid community was not taking any action, and there was no real recourse for suffering countries. The Global Fund changed the dynamics dramatically by suddenly creating a highly visible place where governments could seek help. If the governments were turned down, that too was transparent. Indeed, scientific review panels were established for each disease in order to give an objective evaluation of country proposals. The existence of a clear source of funding, with a clear mission and backed by science, was galvanizing. Dozens of countries began to formulate plans and programs with the growing confidence that actual funding would be available to put those programs into action. The world moved quickly from speeches, theory, and debate to action.